Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. Well, listen, I'm switching gears. The whole first part of the Triple Dipper today, I talked about why different aspects of policy can also equal national security. I mean, you would never think that it could be that way, would you? I mean, most people don't consider things like energy policy having a dramatic impact on national security, or for that matter, border policy, or for that matter, transportation policy. But it does. Every bit of it does. I gave you concrete examples of why. So here's the next thing, though. We're switching gears. I got the whole section of the Triple Dipper next titled, Can Republicans Get It Done? There's several things happening down in Montgomery, not the least of which is the fact that we finally have some truly meaningful school choice legislation that is causing waves in Montgomery, waves of panic for some, waves of excitement for others. Well, listen, there's somebody coming on the show right now who is a good friend, somebody who I think has been an amazing advocate, not just for her district and being a statesman, but she's also been an advocate for school choice for quite a while. Charlotte Meadows is a member of the Alabama House of Representatives. She represents House District 74. She took office in 2019 in a special election, and she has been a fighter on school choice all this time. She is the House sponsor for what is being called the Parents' Choice Act. You had Del Marsh on the show, the former Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh, on last week to talk about him being the Senate sponsor for the bill. So without further ado, let me go ahead and bring her on, Charlotte Meadows. Hey, Charlotte. Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil, good afternoon. It's good to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. And listen, you continue to take the fight on school choice, and the audience is fairly familiar, but why don't you just give a quick glossy version of what the Parents' Choice Act would do, and then let's talk about what's happening with it.
Well, it really is a true overarching ability for parents to choose what they want to do with their state tax dollars. And it's really something that has been done in another state. West Virginia passed a similar type of legislation a year ago. It's not been completely implemented, but our bill is based on what they've done. It allows parents to take a portion, not all, of the state tax dollars, but some is better than nothing, and it really then starts to provide a way for parents to choose something different if they're not happy with what they've got. So it then drives competition. And, you know, as you know, when you have competition, something, you know, that's not working tends to die. And if it is working and it's working well, it improves. So that's really the point of this, is to provide competition for all schools. And, you know, you said we're changing directions, but we're really not, because education is very much paramount to our national security. And I mean, we could talk about that for the whole segment, but I'm not going to hijack your show.
No, it's a great point, though. And you know what? I might have a whole Triple Dipper segment coming up in the future on how education impacts national security. I don't think I'd ever thought of that much. But listen, so yeah, right. the bill goes straight to the philosophical premise of, what are tax dollars for? If there's tax dollars out there for education, are they there for the system? Are they there to educate the child? And you and I both believe they're there to educate the child, which means the parent should have a say, or legal guardian should have a say, in how that money's monies are applied.
And that's exactly what this bill does, is give them the option. No one is forced to choose this, but it allows parents to go into really a fourth bucket of students called the parent's choice student. And then they can choose to use their money for whatever they – there's obviously limits. You can't buy an ICE with it, but – it does pay for educational expenses of many areas.
Well, it's got it's got great merit, and it's got a lot of hopes up. But we're also hearing, though, it's got a lot of hand wringing going on. The teachers union has been down there in the state house, working the issue.
Wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth.
I'm saying that's exactly what I'm hearing. And what I'm also hearing, though, is that, and this is, by the way, this is part of legislation. If everybody thinks that there's a perfect bill out there, one that does everything you want to the first time it comes out, it's rare. Sometimes it takes, little machinations to get the bill into a fashion that you can get it passed. I hope that's not too broad of a description of what's happening with your bill.
No, there's two points I wanted to make today, and that was one of them. And we're in the process of trying to do something significant for education in the state of Alabama, and I think anybody can agree that something needs to be done. Now, we can disagree about who should do it, what it should be, all those types of things, but if we're going to sit back and do nothing, then that's the definition of insanity, like you said before, and I don't think we should sit back and do nothing. And to me, now is the time to have this conversation. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation coming to the House. You know well as I do that the legislation that came out last Tuesday is not going to be what passes. So I'm intent on listening to the concerns, making sure that we've got it as good as it can be when it comes to the floor of the House, and making sure that it's something that is doable and workable for as many people in the state of Alabama as possible.
Now, upstairs in the Senate, there's two, we call them companion bills for those who are not familiar. So you've got a companion bill to the same one that is running in the Senate, and they can get amended differently and then have to go to conference and get worked out. But the bottom line is the one upstairs in the Senate has already come out of committee. Is yours in committee this week? Do you know?
No, it's not. We're going to let the Senate probably pass what they've got, and it will likely have a substitute bill before it passes in the Senate. So I'm following that. Senator Marsh and I are working really closely together on it, although he's definitely taking the lead. I'm really good with the details, and he's really good with the big picture. So he's taking the lead on this, and then we'll probably try to get the same types of amendments or substitutes into the House, and then start working from that towards what we think we can get passed in the House.
Well, so let me ask you this, Charlotte. I talked to Senator Marsh this morning also, by the way. And so as the bill was originally styled, as it came out in its original form, it basically would say there's in the neighborhood of 6,500 right now, some say a little bit less, some a little more, of tax dollars that could travel with the child. And as the bill was originally drafted, a parent could say, I want my child to go to private school with that money, to homeschool with that money, to another public school with that money. Whatever the case may be, the parent or legal guardian could decide, and the money would follow the child. I'm hearing now that that's being changed somewhat, and they're limiting what types of education this could be used for. What do you know?
One thing we've actually really somewhat flabbergasting to me is we've heard from a lot of homeschool families who are not interested in participating. And even though this is not a mandatory thing, it's purely optional, their choice. They don't want even homeschool to be mentioned. So we are making plans to take homeschooling out of the bill. That gives me a little bit of heartburn because I know some families that homeschool because they have no other option and they don't have the resources to pay for the things that they need. And there's also some really significant data and research that shows that homeschool families succeed at high levels regardless of what their parents' educational status is or socioeconomic background. We also know that homeschooling is one of the biggest sections that has grown in the last several years because of COVID. Parents have not had a choice, and they've been forced to school at home. So
let me ask you this, Charlotte.
Strange then, to me that they don't want to take their tax dollars.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm hearing on that is that it's probably related to the idea that they're afraid that the taking of public tax dollars, even though they're the ones who may have paid it into the system themselves, would then also allow more invasive oversight by the state into their homeschooling, opportunities. So is that what you're hearing?
Yes, and honestly, I think that was, whether it was intentional or not, Dr. Mackey spoke at the committee meeting last Wednesday and made comments along the lines of how other states do homeschoolers, and they require them to take the state test, they make home visits, they do other things that are somewhat, actually could be very intrusive. And while that's never been the intent of this legislation, I can see where people would have heard that and got really weak-kneed about it.
Well, I'm sure that Secretary Mackey knew exactly what he was doing when he said those things, because what he was trying to do was put fear in the hearts of people who would have otherwise supported the bill.
Well, and if that was his intent, he succeeded. And we also, there was an amendment put on that designated that students had, using the program, had to take the state assessment, which is the ACAP.
Right.
And as soon as I saw the amendment, I thought, well, that's not going to fly, because the state assessment is not, I mean, it's fine for the state schools and the public schools, but the private schools already do their own type of national normed reference test that is used amongst private schools. I mean, there's the Stanford, there's the California Achievement, which is what my kids took. I don't know if that's still there, but there's all different types of national reference tests that show students how, show a school and a system how their students are doing. So there's no reason for us to mandate the state assessment, but I can see where we might want to say some type of assessment.
Well, I agree.
Reference, that type of thing.
I agree with you. That assessment amendment was the first thing that caught my eye as causing trouble for the bill, because it automatically implied that private schools and in the original intent, homeschools would be subject to a standardized test that they're not, they don't have access to the study guides for and everything else. But hey, Charlotte, listen, we are up against a break. Can you hang on to just a few minutes? We'll come back and wrap this conversation up. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
All right. We're on with State Representative Charlotte Meadows from House District 74. She's a school choice advocate going way back, but she's right now fighting the good fight in the Alabama legislature, trying to get something done because, friggin', we're 50th in the nation. And all these hand-wringers down there want to keep the status quo. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going right back to the phones with my friend, State Representative Charlotte Meadows, serves in the Alabama State House in District 74, and she is a school choice advocate who is also co-sponsoring legislation that is designed to sort of revamp the manner in which tax dollars are spent on education, giving parents more of a say in what happens with their kids. All right. Hey, Charlotte, you mentioned it earlier, and I want to point out, this is not like something created out of thin air. This is not something that is like new, novel, and no one's ever done it before. In fact, West Virginia passed this like 2 years ago. Am I right?
It's just last session, I mean, last year, but it goes into effect this spring. So,
okay.
And other states have had an ESA, an education savings account, in different forms for different types of people, maybe disabled people or, you know, low-income people. I mean, this is not news. But what's interesting is that when this is done in other states, it shows progress. It shows that the students that are left behind in the public schools actually make gains. The public schools improve. The private schools improve. And the students who leave the public schools improve. So there's just complete data that shows there's no really downside to this.
Well, I completely agree. And, you know, just to show you how real time this show is, I just got a text from someone just while you're talking just now that says, as a homeschooler, says we would love a credit or a reimbursement. Our older girls took the PSAT, did really well. He said if there was a placement test for homeschoolers to opt into this credit, we would do it. So that's a homeschooler right there saying I'd be for it. Well, Charlotte,
tell them to call their legislators and support it.
Well, and that's the great point. That's the thing is right now you're one person. Del Marsh is this one upstairs. And Del has told me that right now he thinks he has the votes to pass the bill, but because they can mount the filibuster, he's going to need 21 votes upstairs to get past the filibuster as opposed to a simple majority. And so that creates the issue. Right now, what are you feeling like in the House? I mean, if you had the vote tomorrow, do you think you could get the votes to pass it as it stands at the moment?
No. Absolutely not, because we've not been able to get the word out yet about the positive parts of this bill, nor have we been getting phone calls, text messages, and emails from the people who would like to see it pass. So that's
perfect
what I would encourage
point.
Your listeners to make sure they contact their senators today and their House members, you know, in the next week to say, I'd like to see this, and my family would really benefit from it.
Absolutely. So in Huntsville, that would, or in this listening area, that would be people like Garland Gudger from Coleman, Arthur Orr from Decatur, Sam Gavan from Huntsville, Tom Butler from Huntsville, Clay Schofield from Marshall County, Nathaniel Ledbetter in the house over in DeKalb, Jackson County. Folks, I'm just telling you, Charlotte's exactly right. This is what's going to make the difference. And you can find your legislator very easily just by going to the legislative website. It'll tell you how to reach them and leave a message or get in touch with them personally.
Right. Send an email, make a phone call, whatever it takes. But we've got to have parents saying this is something that we need now.
Well, I just want you to know, too, Charlotte, as a matter of encouragement, that I happen to know that there is a major conference call going on, Zoom call on Wednesday morning with multiple school choice organizations all intent upon seeing what we can do to get behind this thing. And so I believe there's going to be a little more weight coming your way. Just stay in the fight, all right?
I am staying in the fight. No, nothing's knocking me down yet.
Well, I've known you a while, and I know that to be true. I mean, you're the only, by the way, you're hearing the voice right now of the only legislator who has taken the teachers union to court. So,
and won.
All right.
And won.
All right. State Representative Charlotte Meadows, we appreciate you. You hang in there. We're going to keep working this issue with you, too. All right.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate your listening audience.
All right. Have a great day.
And you.
Hey, listen, folks, that's the thing. She's exactly right. I cannot stress this enough. This is not one to sit on the sidelines and watch it go by. Do you know how rare it is to get a bill out of committee that is this substantive? I mean, back in the day, this bill would not have even seen the light of day. Well, they've gotten one out of committee. But right now, you've got Republicans in the Senate who are scared of what it means to oppose the teachers' union in a campaign year. That's what's happening. Quite a few of those have already taken campaign donations from the teachers' union. There's a lot of weight being thrown behind the opposition. What needs to happen now is they need to start hearing from people who want it, like the person who just texted me. Contact your state senator. Contact your representative and say, listen, I don't know where you stand, but I know where I stand, and I'm hoping that you will pass this legislation. We have got to move Alabama out of number 50, and we do not get there by doing the same old, same old, same old. You know, the teachers' union demands more money. The education department asks for a bigger budget. They throw a teacher pay raise in there to make everybody happy, and then next year we're number 50. Used to be we could say thank God for Mississippi. Now Mississippi says thank God for Alabama because they rank higher than us, even though they spend less than us per student. Oh, yeah. All right, folks, more of this stuff when we get back. I think Copper's even got an opinion. We'll jump on that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Be right back.